I'm not sure what else I have to do to just hit the one. Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. That gives you a little glimpse of what we do in South Africa. In 2000, we really did not have a ministry. It was just being birthed through Evangelical Baptist Missions. And we were excited to be part of that. If you would have asked us 2 years before, even a year before we said we were going to move to South Africa, we would have laughed at you. We never had any thought of ever moving out of country, never had any discussion of it in our marriage, and God just really changed our life. I was 50 years old, and so it was an interesting time. But God really has blessed the ministry, and I would encourage you to come back tonight, because we really want, by the end of the day here, to be able to help you understand more of what's happening in South Africa. I know that as a church you support two orphans, and I really appreciate that, and we thank you for that. The children thank you for it. We have purposely not tried to have support a child for individuals, so, because we want our ministry to be known for, and the supporters to be known for all of our children. And not pinpoint. We don't want our children to be put in a fishbowl. And that's something that we want them to know, that they're part of a family that's bigger than that. It's God's family. But it's interesting, in your reading this morning, in your that you had, because this morning I would like to talk about compassion. And I have those same verses that were read this morning, and I'm going to read them again. But we're going to talk about compassion. What's compassion? We all have been in situations, but let us really define what compassion is through the Word of God. And let me just start by reading the verses, okay? And it's Luke 10, 25 to 37. I'm going to read it. And on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra you may have. Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. You know, one of the elements of this passage is that we can learn is to show compassion, how to show compassion to others. And if we're going to teach and reach out to others, then we need to know what God's Word is going to say about it. Let's look at the word compassion. and how we define it. Think about this. I think we all can put ourselves into that situation. Have you ever seen something happening to someone you don't know and you want to help, but you're really afraid? Or your schedule doesn't really fit in with it. Or it may complicate your life. Or there may be a little bit of risk to it. Risk to it. Can you put yourself in those shoes? Have you ever, maybe some of the young people here maybe not have done it. But I think in the lives of the adults here, we've all been there. And we can picture that. And that's not what compassion is. That's sympathy. But it really isn't compassion. In the early days of South Africa, when we were thinking about going to South Africa, we had some thoughts. And some of them was our grandchildren. How do we see them? When do we see them? From the standpoint of security in South Africa. I'm trying to use the words that, and I have to think through this because we've been in South Africa long enough that the words are different. So if there's some hesitation, you have to understand. I want you to understand. But crime in South Africa is very bad. And you don't have to go too far in digging to hear that car hijackings and people breaking into homes and that is not something that is once in a while you hear about. It's all the time. So you read that and you say, well, do I want to leave my community that is pretty safe? Here's some other questions that we're asking. Are you afraid of getting AIDS? That's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of myths out there about AIDS. And do we really want to take that chance? John, you're turning 50. You sure this is a good idea? That's something that I've been told by several people. It's several friends. But many of these thoughts and questions could have stopped us from going to South Africa. But Lois and myself have compassion for orphans, for children. Just ask us about it. And we really can get excited about seeing kids' lives change. I can go back to Laura, our first older foster child. And I can remember going to Lois going to school with her and meeting with the counselor. After the counselor had told this girl graduating from high school, you're a foster kid. You'll never make it in college. Why are you filling out applications? Well, today she has three children. And her oldest one is at Faith Baptist Bible College. Her second one just graduated from high school. She homeschooled them. Was God in the picture? Yeah, it is. God changes lives. But in order for us to have compassion, we have to have some kind of action. It can't be just, oh, I feel bad. Man, I really feel bad for Laura, and I'd like to take Laura into care, but I really don't want to do that. That's sympathy. And we want to have true compassion. Now let's shift the scenario. Okay? You see someone that you know, your husband, your wife, your best friend, your son, your daughter, and you see something that happens to them. What do? You hesitate? You don't. You get involved. You say, okay, what's the plan to help? That's compassion. And that's what God's talking about in the scripture there. Not just seeing it, but doing something about it. The action part of that. The definition of compassion is this. It's a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another's suffering and misfortune, accompanied by the desire to alleviate the pain and remove its cause. The second part of it is the action part of it. You have to do something about it. We have had people say to us, John, the orphan problem in South Africa is so great, why even try? Because God commands it. There's no question about that. He didn't ask us to take care of 43 million orphans that they expect in sub-Saharan Africa. But he did expect us to do something. In fact, he didn't expect it. He commanded it. James 1:27, read it. And it doesn't say anything at all about if you want to. The government is responsible for it. It doesn't say any of that. It says to take care of the widows and orphans. And it's a command. But that's what we're trying to do. So the compassion is there. God had compassion on us, didn't he? Look at us. We were all sinners, and he died for us. He died on a cross for us. You know what? I haven't been asked to die for him yet. And I would like to say I would be willing to die for Christ, but he hasn't asked that yet. Are you? I mean, that's really something that's very thought-provoking in that. Here's some verses. Psalm 145:9. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Every one of us here fit into that. He didn't make junk out of any of us. He didn't put anybody at all in a situation that's hopeless if you're a believer. Your hope is in Christ. And we can be very excited about that. I can be. I can go to South Africa and I don't have to worry about it. Because when I'm taking off in the big plane, I know if anything happens, I'm going to heaven. I don't have to suffer anymore. I know that if someone breaks into my house, that God's going to take care of me. It may not be the plan that I want. A few years ago, January, just around Lois's birthday, we were driving home from buying her birthday present. And we watched a car in front of us and a young man in front of, over there on this side, run across a four-lane highway. The car hit him. I can remember to this day the guy going in the air, hitting the hood of the car, going back up into the air, coming down on, as they would say, the windscreen, you would say windshield, onto the side of the road. And by the time we pulled over and by the time the person pulled over, the guy had his family in the car. There was a little baby that was in the front seat where the windshield had broke. And I can just remember putting my arm around him and him just saying, but I didn't mean to do it. I tried every way to get by and get away from him. Compassion. Here's another one. Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says that God is the Father of compassion. Praise be to God, the Father of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. Isn't that great that we have a God that knows not if it's going to happen, not how it's going to happen, but he knows when it's going to happen, how you're going to respond to it, and what the outcome is. That's mind-boggling. That's hard for us to understand that. But we know that through Christ, we have that comfort. And I'm excited that I can say I have that. I can say that my kids have that. We're working on some grandkids. They're pretty special. But it's something that they have to decide too. Now let's break down the word compassion and see what's involved to have the kind of compassion God has shown to us. Feelings are involved. When we see a need arise, a feeling of deep sympathy or sorrow is involved. I remember several weeks ago, in fact, one of the last pictures of the children that came on this front here, Lois got a phone call. And that phone call said, we have a child. The next thing, the police department came with this child. We're full. I have to understand, we have made the commitment that we want 8 children in our home. Legally, we can do 12. Okay, so we have some flexibility. But we want to have as much like a family at Bethesda as possible. So we have said, okay, 8 is the cutoff. That includes house parents' children. We were house parents. We understand what it was to have 9 kids at a time. In fact, at one time, I think we had 11. There's a big difference when you hit the 9. So we have made the commitment that 9 or 8 is the cutoff. So what do? We have 5 homes. They're all full. Lois talked to the different people involved. They came up with a plan. The plan was, we're going to take these kids and this girl. In fact, just before we left, a couple days before we left, the same thing happened. So we have 3 children in care that we don't have a home for by our standards. Now, when we go back in a few weeks, we're going to train another house parent couple, and we're going to have the 6th home open. Believe it or not, we already have 7 children for a house that we haven't even opened yet. And we haven't looked for them. Haven't looked for any children at all. Our staff has compassion to care for orphans. That's our compassion. And we're excited about it. Because you know what? We had to work with our staff, South Africans. Unemployment, depending on where you're at, is 35 to 65%. So everybody wants a job. Being a house parent, being on staff at Bethesda is not a job. It's a ministry. And we wanted not us to make the decision, but our house parents and our house parent supervisor and the parents of them, they all said, we're going to take the kids. We'll take the kids. We'll take extra kids until we open the home. That's compassion. Here's another one. Joey. Joey is a little girl that was one of the first children. In fact, her picture was up here too. Joey was found in a garbage can, left to die. What do? Leave her die? She's healthy. She's not a baby anymore. In fact, when she was in grade R, which is kindergarten, and then you have Tandy Way and several other kids, and that one, and they're just a few years, I think one grade above that now, what, first grade or second grade. And I came back from the United States once, and they were in grade R, and all of a sudden I walked by, and all of a sudden I had a whole bunch of little children giving me hugs. They didn't ask the teacher's permission whether that was okay. They wanted to give Papa John a hug. You know what? Those little kids' lives have changed. We actually have one girl that we have 100 acres that you saw. 106 acres if you're the ones that want to be exact. It's 43.7 hectares of land. And we have one girl that if you go to the north side of our property and you can walk around our property, and it's a great walk. I think it's 1.5 miles to take a walk. So it's a great walking track, running track if you're younger. Not for me. But if you go to the north side of our property, the little girl's home is right on the other side of the fence. God designed long time ago. In fact, the verses in the Psalm where it talks about the generation, the ones not even yet born. Right? When we started it, she wasn't born. And now she's at Bethesda. God knows what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to end up. We can't guarantee that every child from Bethesda is going to be a disciple of Christ. Our responsibilities, just like your responsibilities as parents and grandparents, is to train up your children and pray that they stay on the path. And boy, that's hard. It's hard to see them stray, isn't it? I've seen it. We've ministered to a lot of people over the years. We have ministered to people, in fact, situations that are very devastating in that. And you know what? With Christ, it's fun to watch people. My mom died several weeks ago, and some of my sisters are not believers in that. You know what? They handle the situation totally different than me and my sisters that are saved. Why? Because, in fact, one of the times that happened, when at the funeral, the last day of the funeral, I went behind my one sister that was saved and the other sister that wasn't saved that's asking questions now. I says, do your legs hurt? And this was after being having hundreds of people come through a funeral, viewing your mom, and your legs are tired. Mine hurt. In fact, I was starting to get cramps in them. In the upper legs and that. You know what? And they both said, yes, they hurt a lot. I says, Mom's doesn't. She's in heaven. And that's our hope. And so we have to have compassion for our neighbors around us. We have to. Our son David, when he was in fourth grade, it was really, he was very active. He's soccer. He's 30-some years old now, and he's still involved in sports, and his daughter is in soccer and gymnastics. But bottom line is, he fell. Broke his hip. Turned out there was a lack of blood going to his bones. He had a cyst on his bones. He had to have surgery. And the story becomes like this. For the next year and a half of his life, he was on crutches or rehab or something like that. You know what? When that happened, and you have to picture a fourth grader with a cast from here all the way down to his ankle on the one leg. I mean, you wanted to get in the cast for him. And without question, Lois and myself and everybody else that knew him really worked hard on showing compassion to him. Very, very much. But here's some things that we have to understand with compassion. There's three ingredients. And you read this in the scriptures here. Time is the first ingredient. Okay? Let's go to the verse. 33 and 34. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. Bottom line is he took time. Now, he didn't want... Now, there are some big things here. One, as a Samaritan, by what he did, he could have been killed instantly. People didn't like him, Samaritans. Could have killed him. So, that was one risk that he took. He didn't know whether or not the innkeeper was going to charge him excessively. Have you ever been taken that way? Across America, we have seen many times that tragedy hits, and what do? Take advantage. I think there's some talk even now with the banks, or the credit cards, rather. Taking advantage of the people. He had that problem too. The bottom line is he took time. When we arrived in South Africa, I heard the saying, just now. And that was exciting to hear. Just now. I'll do it just now for you. But do you know what? In South Africa, just now doesn't mean just now. Just now means today, tomorrow. May never happen. But you learn that pretty quickly. If you hear just now, you know they're going to do it right away. And so you do learn that. But bottom line is, we are all in the same category with time. We all have 24 hours. We all have 7 days a week. And we all will stand in front of a holy God someday and give account of what we're going to do with our time. And I'm not sure if it's going to be the answer we want to give is, boy, I just didn't have time for that. We need to think about it. Time's a really important part of our life. We all control it. You have about your body believers here. What do you want? Your goal is to win souls for Christ, right? You want to see individuals know that they can die and they're going to go to heaven. Without question about that. I've talked to Pastor enough. I've seen some of your program, and you want that to happen. But bottom line is, that's not going to happen if people don't take time to do it. Now, the second ingredient that we have to add to it is money. And money is something that we really do a little bit more thinking about it. When we start ministries and talk to people about starting orphan care ministry, the first thing on the table, well, we are a poor country. We don't have money. Well, that's true. But if God's in the picture, money's not the first thing on this table. We start asking, well, what should we do? Do I have money to get involved? And really, sadly enough, that's what stops us from getting involved, because we don't want to give up something. It cost us about 1,600 rand to house and feed and school a child. I can tell you, in my family, I've watched a lot of people waste more money than that per month. And so what do we do with that? Now, you all can't go. You can't all take your time and say we're going to South Africa. You can't all say we can go and there's a lot of factors there. But money is a factor. This church supports two orphans. I wish you could all see it. If I have a down day, you know what I do? I go to the school at 8 o'clock in the morning when they're starting devotions and they're singing. And it gets you right back on focus. Why are you here? It's not about my time and it's not about my money. It's about winning souls for Christ. So we have to remember that time and money is an important part. But now let's go a little bit further. Let's go with the part of reading. We cannot show compassion without taking some action, and this action may involve giving money. That's really, I can say from the American standpoint, one of my responsibilities and with the church that we attended, which is our Sunday church, I was responsible for people that needed places to stay or needs that came up, food and that. And we had a gentleman come, and we had the practice that we would put them in a motel. We would use credit card because we didn't want to give people money. And that sounds really great. But the bottom line is, one day we put someone in a motel. The next day we got a phone call, and they said they trashed the room. There's that part of it. Let me read verse 35. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but he still did what he was supposed to do. The last ingredient is risk. Jim Elliot is, one of my heroes from the standpoint that he gave his life. God didn't ask for me to give my life yet. But Jim Elliot, he focused on the Alka Indians, and he literally died for. Now, did you think he knew what the outcome was there? He didn't. And if you get into what has happened in that area since his death and the other men's death and that, it's amazing. It's amazing to see how God used his death for his glory. And we need to really keep that in focus in that. And one of the things that we have in with risk is we don't know how people are going to respond. We don't know if they're going to rip us off and trash the room. I can remember just a couple months ago, and I usually don't give money out. And there was this old white South African that was in McDonald's. And he stood at the counter, and he was going like this, counting his rand, which is the currency there. And he would look up and over. And Lois was with me, and another staff person was with. And I finally handed the person, cashier, 20 rand. I said, buy his meal. And Lois says, wow, that's different. Because that's not something that I do on a regular basis. Because you don't know where it's going. But you could tell the guy was suffering. It appeared that way. Several weeks after that, I was on the other side of the mountain, and I went into another fast food, and I don't eat at fast foods very often, but it is nice for a drink, a cold drink and things like that. And the same man is there, the same stance is there, and you know what went through my mind? I got ripped off. Would I do it again? Yeah, I would. And you know what? He knew that too. He looked up. He saw me without getting any food and moved and went outside because he recognized me. So risk is a factor there. And sometimes we have to take risk. The Samaritan didn't know whether or not they were going to excessively charge. They didn't know any of those things. They didn't know if there was a guard watching when he helped to bandage his wounds. But he took the risk. So the question has to be asked, are we showing compassion to our neighbors? Are we? That's something I can't answer for you. And for the unsaved, they may not understand it. And if you're not saved here today, then this isn't going to make sense. But God expects us to have compassion for our neighbors around us. And by doing that means we have to show action in order to see that take place. No matter if that's in Awana, no matter if that's in a McDonald's, no matter if that's in a situation where you really don't have the time to do it, and it just, man, this is going to really mess up my day. To remember, it's not about you. It's not about any of us here. Bottom line is, Christ has a plan when he died for us, and he doesn't need any of us. He can do it himself. God is God. And what I would encourage you to do is think about this on your way home in your discussions. Okay? If you died in a car accident on the way home tonight or this morning, and you were in the presence of God in glory, have you impacted, what would your neighbors say? Would they say, boy, he impacted my life and had compassion on his neighbors and he wanted them in heaven? Or, boy, that guy didn't have time for me. He really, whatever. You fill in the blanks. But bottom line is, as believers, it is very important that we have compassion for our neighbors. Sometimes it's in South Africa, we have the pleasure of serving. Sometimes it's right here in Ohio. And we don't know what that situation God's going to put you in. But I do know He will give you the strength, He will give you the words, and He will help you work through it. But you may be the last link for that person or that contact to go to heaven. So what are you doing with it? So remember, it takes time, money, and risk. That's the action that it takes in order to show compassion. Thank you for having us, but let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. And Lord, we think about many times that we really are self-focused and that we really just look at what our needs are. But Lord, we know that you sent your Son to die for us and that that sacrifice was something that gave us all in this room hope, if we believe. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to work in our lives, that we wouldn't see Ohio or South Africa through our eyes, but that we would see them, see it through your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.